Welcome to episode 2 of Legacy Game Changers. I'm your host, Zanetta Rogers, accountant, tax preparer, financial educator, certified money coach, and travel agent. In this episode, Randy Wakefield and I am discussing Banking Principles 101. So if you want to become your own bank, learn how to fire your banker, and how to build generational wealth by being your own banker, tune in now. In this episode, you'll discover why 401ks may be a scam, why the current banking system is stopping you from building wealth, how much money you really need to save from your wages for emergency purposes, and how to build wealth through being your own bank. Randy Wakefield is an expert in Banking 101, whose accomplishments include former operational officer of personal and retail banking, the Bank of Butterfield in Bermuda, startup business specialist, financial coach, health and wellness coach, and identity coach. Welcome, Randy.
Thank you, Zanetta.
Did I leave anything out?
Well, I think that's plenty right there.
Okay, let's get started. I know you're going to have to make a disclaimer, but why is 401k a scam?
And this is just my opinion. And what I tell folks is this is not advice. This is just more of a sharing of my perspective and how I see things. And so I want to make that very clear. And I also want you to be very clear in terms of who you seek financial counsel and advice from. And so before you make any decisions, you do need to seek financial counsel and advice from people who have a fiduciary responsibility with you. And I would really research that word fiduciary, because a lot of people are in the financial services industry who do not understand what that word means. And in my view, also are in malpractice in that arena. Folks who claim to be fiduciaries very often are not in the way they behave. So in that vein, I'm going to talk about 401ks from my perspective. And 401ks, very simply, are, and I've got to give some context to this, Zanetta, is they started as an alternative to pension plans. And back in the 1970s, what happened was, because of the pension plans for employees, there were some serious obligations that the companies had to have and had to have to set aside legally in order to fulfill the retirement obligations of the people that they were serving. So in a nutshell, a lot of these large corporations talked with their congressional folks through their lobbyists, and I can't give you the exact dates, but I think it was before 1980, but I'm not sure. But this whole process started, but in the 1980s is when the legislation actually came into place. And what happened is the pensions were, because of the huge hits that were taking place with companies and the obligations that they found, that they were having a real hard time fulfilling versus the obligation of taking care of the investors. So there was a real competition between the retirement, for the funding the retirement accounts of the workers, and maximizing profits for the investors. And so that the objective of any company, the CEO of a company, you'll always hear this in Harvard Business and you know the Chicago School, and really the tradition has been that the role of the CEO and the executive is to maximize the profits for the investor, which is and protect the assets of the investors. And so there was a real competition between pension funding versus and who was responsible for the cost. And so what they wanted to incorporate in this whole thing and they figured it out with Congress, and they worked with financial institutions where they set aside, they said, look, the employee is responsible for their funding their retirement. And from this point forward, the companies will not be held accountable. Now, they needed to help facilitate the process and make sure that that happened, but there was a real disconnect now between the old traditional agreement that took place in the late 1940s, and actually it began. Man, I'm going down a rabbit hole, so you guys can edit it as you need to. But what I want to provide for you is the context of this, okay? And the context of this is there was an agreement originally between workers, the government, and big companies that said that we will take care of your retirement. And in the 1980s, there was the systematic breaching of that agreement that took place in the 1940s. And what's happened is that systematic breaching and moving away from that agreement between the corporations and the nature of corporations because of globalization. Globalization could not take place with that pension obligation. And the competitive markets are such where it probably necessitated all of that, because if we didn't, the competitive nature of business really had to disconnect the pension funding side of things, okay? But what they did is they created an alternative, which in principle is not a bad principle to have, where employees had to fund their own retirement. And they needed to do that by saving, and they encouraged it, is they would provide tax benefits for employees up to 15% of their income. But it was deferred taxation. And this is the crux of the matter, is in the 1980s, the 401k model came forward. And the benefit of that is, so if you're making $100,000 a year and you save 15% for your retirement through a 401k, you're only taxed on $85,000. And that's on the surface, it looks like it's a great way to save on taxes. And the problem with this, Zanetta, is when you give away 15%, give away control of 15% of your income into a government-sponsored entity or government-required entity, these are financial institutions that are paid probably close to 1 to 1.5%, maybe 2%. Of the value of the money that you have in that every single year. And that's guaranteed income for these financial institutions. Doesn't matter what the performance of your portfolio is in the stock and bond market. And that's another issue. The stock and bond market is kind of a gambling machine.
So is this why you're saying the current banking system is stopping us from becoming wealthy?
Well, what it is the financial institutions like Morgan Stanley, like the Bear Stearns, like the company, the Bank of Bermuda that I worked for in the early 80s, like the Bank of Butterfield. We invest on the investment banking side. We had something called mutual funds. Okay. And what it did is, what that did is it helped people, instead of going and try to be their own financial planner and all that, it gave them an option of doing a smorgasbord of stocks and bonds and help them diversify their portfolio and all those fancy terms. But what we did and the way we made money very simply was we administered all of these things ourselves, okay? And we managed a lot of these mutual funds internationally, and we our banks made a lot of money in the corporate services side of things. And but long story short is the financial, the investment banking side and the the financial management side of things is a very lucrative business model. And what that did is it, by doing the 401ks and by, you know, providing investment, a pool of funds available to invest in companies, what that did is it created an inflationary environment because you had such a huge volume of money now going toward investing in this that wasn't there before. Even though these other companies had pensions, and they did to a certain degree have investing like that, you know, they had to, you know, create that sort of investment side of things for each company was responsible for it. It truly was untenable for these corporations. Okay, so something did have to give. But what it did is it created a really tough environment for the individual to grasp and understand what was before them, and what befell them was this huge task of figuring out how to retire with sufficient money. And so the onus of that retirement was just shoved on the employees without any education and preparation.
We need to take a quick break. Thank you for listening to Legacy Game Changer. We're talking about Banking Principles 101, and we'll be right back. Hi. My name is Monica James, the owner of Brazilian Beauty Bar Natural Hair Salon, naturally native hair and skin care. We recently partnered with Walmart and Amazon, so be sure to purchase our natural hair and skin care products for all of your basic hair and skin care needs. Visit our website for 20% off of your purchase of $100 or more at BrazilBeautyBar.com. Have a fabulous day. Hello, this is Annetta Rogers. Join me on Wednesday at 5 p.m. for my new podcast, Legacy Game Changers. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., join me and we'll talk about finance, education, and wealth building for you and your family to leave a legacy for your loved ones. Once again, that's Legacy Game Changers, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Welcome back to Legacy Game Changers. I'm here with Randy, and Randy, we were talking about the 401k may be a scam. Can you continue with the discussion?
And the reason is no one intended to make it a scam, okay? But what it ended up being is a feeding frenzy for these companies. And so the incentive structures are such that they just have friends in Congress to make sure that there's no changes that really benefit the consumer here. Okay. So long story short, what happens is you've got 15% of all your income that you're losing control of until you're 65 years old. But here's the problem is we have uncontrolled spending that is putting us we're over 30 trillion in debt right now. So in the future, we are going to have tax liabilities presenting themselves that we've never had before. We're at historic lows in terms of tax obligations. So what we have going on right now is we have no promise that when we take our money out at age 65 or whatever age it is, 59, what that tax rate's going to be. So it's a mystery. So when people are claiming, oh, there's always a 7% return on the stock market and all of this stuff, and by the way, that's not clear.
Well, a lot of people found out with this COVID how much they took.
You know that, right?
And then they couldn't return.
And we've got some dynamics, and there's some serious fraud at corporate level going on that we can go into later on. But long story short is there is no guarantee of rate of return and that you're going to be able to take the money that you thought you could because Congress is in control of the tax rates. And we're at historical lows on the tax rates and we're at historical low highs. in terms of deficit. And those two are irreconcilable, and something's going to have to give. So the scam part of this whole thing is that somehow this is the best way for you to retire. You giving full control of your money to somebody else is somehow going to get you wealthy enough to retire on. And that's the scam, and that's the lie.
Okay, because, so how do we build wealth through having our own family bank?
Okay, very simple. The way banks make money is they have a bucket of money that people are depositing, okay? And you put your money in the bank, but you don't own the bank. And there's a problem with that. If you're not saving 15 to 20% of your money and keeping in your savings account instead, which you have full control of because you can call on that anytime you want to, and you're giving it to another institution, that's a problem. The bank's taking your money, your paycheck, and you're spending all your money and you're giving it to everybody else, but you're not collecting a bucket of money, of cash, and I call it gold. You're not creating a chest of gold for yourself that you're putting away for you fully to control. So when you have to get a brand new car, you've given all that money to your 401k, or you spent it, and that money's lost and gone forever. Had you put that money in your savings account instead and then collateralized that money, and back in the day, you used to get paid 4 to 6% interest in that savings account. They don't do that no more, okay, because there's a monopoly of banks that are able to pay you point. I've got 20 grand in my account right now, and I'm getting paid 0.01%. I've got a new life insurance policy that I'm putting that money into right now that I'm going to get paid 4% guaranteed. But that life insurance that I'm putting into is a mutually owned life insurance company that I am part owner of. And so the difference is that when I can collateralize that money, that in savings, and every bit of money, so I'm going to borrow against that cash, and yes, I'm going to pay interest on it. But the difference is, if my cost of funds is 5%, and I'm getting guaranteed rate of return of 4%, and dividends of 1 to 2% through my life insurance company, I'm going to have a net cost when I borrow from that of less than zero, which means. And when I pay that money back, that's money back to me that I have available. So if I pay back $6,000, if I get a $30,000 car and I borrowed from my savings account, I'm going to say in my life insurance, instead, I've never taken my money out of my savings to buy that car. And if I buy five cars over that over a 25-year period, that's 5 times 30. That's 150,000. Well, you got inflation on the cars. But what I'm saying is banks don't want you to save money. They want you to borrow money because that what they do is they make 18% on the credit cards and they make 7, 8, 9%. And you know, if you're really good with your credit, you're paying 4%. Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or 5%. Yeah. So, the thing about it is because banks have monopolies and there's no competition, what you want to do is take a look at what banks do and do exactly what they do, not what they teach you to do. And that's the problem. We have the financial industry who have incentive structures to keep us in the dark and ill-informed. And that's why I'm talking about fiduciary here.
Well, thank you very much, Randy. I mean, we're going to have to continue this conversation at a later date, but is there anything else you want to say before we wrap this up?
I'm sorry I got into such depth on this, Zanetta, but I hope this is helpful for context, and I hope it's beneficial to your listeners.
All right. Well, thanks again, Randy. And if you need to get in touch with me, you can go to my website, legacygamechangers.com. Or you can go to legacygamechangers@gmail.com, or you can text me at 443-906-3882. Thank you so much for being with us this week. If you have some feedback you'd like to share, please leave a note in the comment section below. If you enjoyed this episode on Banking 101, please share it with your friends. by using the social media button you see in the bottom of the post. And don't forget to subscribe to the show. Thanks again.